the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Kenny Cunningham this morning. Kenny, how are you getting on?
Morning, lads. Yeah, all good.
First impressions of the Stephen Kenny era?
How long do you want me to give you? 5 seconds? 10? 15? 5 minutes? How long have you got? Yeah, I thought the lads done okay. Lads, it depends what you're talking about. In possession, out of possession. I thought we looked tidy in possession. Obviously, we'd fair amount of possession of football. But in all honesty, I was a little bit surprised at the Bulgarians. I thought they'd come after us a little bit, particularly in our own half of the pitch. And they didn't. They kind of dropped off, as you saw, and kind of really conceded possession to us, lads, until we probably ended up at the halfway line, maybe 10 yards into their half of the pitch. So when a team employs that kind of tactic, really, you're always going to dominate. You can hang your hat on the fact you're going to have at least probably 55-60% possession of the football without really having to do too much. So that wasn't a surprise. But that said, I thought we kept the ball reasonably well. We kind of circulated around the pitch, but really probably didn't maybe hurt them in the last third of the pitch often enough. Didn't get the ball into those areas and maintain any kind of sustained pressure for any great period of time. Because of that, probably struggled to create too many clear-cut chances. But I'd agree with you. Probably the thing we hadn't spoken about before the game, a lot of talk about kind of Stephen's style of play in terms of type of football we were going to play, possession-based, but there wasn't a lot of talk about the defensive side to the game. I mean, even actually before the game, I remember speaking to somebody about the back four, thinking, well, doesn't really need too much chat. You know, we're a solid defensive unit. The partnership between John and Shane at centre half has been solid. You know, it's worked very well in a very short period of time they've been together. No real worries there. But last night, not last, it was the first time we looked a little bit wobbly across the defensive line. We looked a little bit open and susceptible to that kind of classic counter attack, and it nearly cost us on a couple of occasions.
Why was that, Kenny?
I think it's just a little bit. I wouldn't be overly concerned with it. I think it's just a little bit more organisation, particularly from the two central defenders. And even when we have possession of the ball and we look as if we have comfortable possession of the ball in the opposition half the pitch, I think if you're sitting behind the ball as a two centre halves predominantly are, you've got to always be thinking, lads, worst case scenario. You know, what happens if we lose the ball, if the next pass is a poor one, if the opposition team wrestle possession, win a turnover ball, am I happy with our kind of defensive positions, our defensive kind of setup? If that's the case, and can we quickly get back into a good defensive shape? So that means just maybe giving people information, adjusting the position, maybe your fullbacks that hold the midfield, they're just shuffling the kind of pieces around the chessboard in front of you. So you're not actually stopping people from getting into forward attacking areas, lads, because we're in possession. But you're very conscious of the fact if we do give it away very quickly, we can get people into good defensive positions and stop any kind of quick kind of counter-attack, which can kind of leave us exposed in behind. And we weren't quite able to do that, lads. Our centre-halves got themselves a little bit exposed in kind of 1v1 situations. There was a couple of balls first half. We gave the ball away on the edge of their penalty, but it was Matt Doherty tried to play a ball into the box. And it got blocked out towards the touchline, but there was no real danger. It wasn't kind of classic counter-attack. The lad ran after the ball, kept it in, had a touch of the ball, got his head up. So again, I was never thinking, oh, we could be in danger here. Then all of a sudden, a big, massive diagonal ball. And suddenly, within 2 seconds, their forward player's in the box, almost a 1v1 situation. Now, that really can't happen. You know, John and Shane Duffy got to be, you know, controlling that situation there in communication with James McCarthy, whoever it is, the fullback on the opposite side. You know, that needs to be better. That just can't happen. It was a ball as well down the side of Shane Duffy first half with a reasonably high line. The ball was just flipped around the corner down the side of Shane. Couldn't quite recover. Their forward was in. I think he took a heavy touch, lads, and Darren Randall came out and done very well and blocked it. But even little things like this, you know, distances between centre-halves and full-backs, if as a centre-half you're feeling a little bit exposed maybe to the pace of this opposition centre-forward, particularly if he's on your outside shoulder, you've got to be getting that full-back a little bit tighter, you know, and giving you a little bit more cover at times as well. So that's just kind of basic. That's just kind of little small.
And Kenny, are you concerned? Like, I know, like, we're not the difficulty with last night, I think, is that, like, Bulgaria are not Liverpool, like you were saying. The counter-attacks were there. They weren't necessarily that incisive, like the one that Doherty gives the ball away. But, like, are you concerned then? Because Bulgaria didn't have a huge capacity to play through us, and that was to our favour. Like, the only way they could get at us was that counter-attack, maybe a little ball over the top, which they did a few times. Are you concerned about that, or is it just this is all sort of settling in pains and this will come right, the shape will come?
No, I wouldn't be overly concerned, because I think the lads will be, Stephen will look at that with Keith and Damien, but that's very easy to rectify for me. That's a little bit of video analysis, sitting down with the players and you get an opportunity next time around and saying, right, lads, look, this is where we just need to tighten up. Shane, just need to make sure Matt's an extra 5 yards around you there on the cover. James, maybe a little bit 5 yards. Steve, opposition fullback, don't commit yourself too high, too soon up the pitch. You know, all those smart, maybe even John Egan. You know, it's all well and good being 2v1 at the back. I play 2v1 at the back myself. Like, and you can feel reasonably comfortable. I was only very comfortable playing 2v1 at the back if one of the centre-halves was 10 yards deep, or one of the centre-halves was touch tight to the opposition forward, but the other centre-half was 10 yards deep. So anything big and over the top, you know, you could easily slide across and deal with. The centre-half in front, who was marking, could get touch tight now, and he didn't have to worry about the ball in behind. I see a lot in the modern game that 2v1 the back, two centre-halves actually stood 10, 15 yards apart, squared of each other. That for me is very dangerous, because that means one ball over the top can take two people out of the game. So again, that's just a small adjustment with the two centre-halves. Think, when you go tight to him, you know, get on his shoulder, actually go and win the ball in front. Don't worry about that ball in behind. I'll deal with anything in behind. So just those small things, little small modifications, a little bit of communication. But that can be rectified very quickly for me, just sitting down with the defensive players there and just rolling that out, having that conversation between coaches and players. I wouldn't be overly concerned with that. I think that type of thing, I think, can be easily rectified.
Because that's almost what happened with the goal, wasn't it, Kenny? That it wasn't a situation where Shane Duffy was protecting behind John Egan. He was actually in front of him. And that kind of gave the Bulgaria attacker just that yard of space to actually control the ball in the first place.
Yeah, but it was a couple of things at play there. What happened there just a few seconds prior to that, Connor's giving the ball away, playing that square pass across the pitch, always a little bit dangerous. Actually trying to play Jeff Hendrick in, and the ball got cut out. But if you see the kind of reaction after that, Connor kind of races from his kind of left midfield position across the pitch, just trying to rectify the error. So if you notice, within a couple of seconds, all our midfield players, Jeff Hendrick is recovering, Jeff, Connor and James McCarthy are all over the right-hand side of the pitch. We're kind of our balance, we're out of shape. That ball gets transferred to the centre of the pitch, and a lot of people are saying, how's he got so much possession in the centre of the pitch to play that pass? Well, he did that because Connor raced across the pitch to try and rectify his error. So all our midfielders now were almost lopsided. But then, of course, after that, when the ball was played through, I had a little bit of sympathy for Shane. Oh, when you were talking about position there, but just a couple of seconds before, you might have noticed one of the opposition midfield players made a dart and run in behind Matt Doherty into the space. But that dragged Shane Duffy initially towards a kind of right-back position. The ball wasn't played. But I looked at him after that. Once the ball wasn't played, immediately then he had to recover back into a central area and get as close to John Egan as he could. Just squeeze that space between that lone central striker. And he was just a little bit slow in doing it. Have a look at his body language. His head is down. Might have been a bit of physical fatigue, whatever. But he just didn't get back quickly enough. And I'm talking about closing those gaps between fullback and centre-half. Well, the same applies between the two centre-halves. It was a great bit of movement by the centre-forward. He didn't attach himself to one of our centre-halves. He just held his position kind of equal distance, mid-distance between the both of them. But it was really Shane's responsibility to get back into that space as quickly as possible. If he just had been a bit quicker, he probably would have gotten to physical contact with the player.
Kenny, on that point, that's excellently pulled apart. On that point, if you had somebody else in one of the fullback positions who had a lot of caps under their belt and was in a leadership role and was more of a communicator than, like, we can expect Matt Doherty to be on his 10th cap, for example, is that something that Coleman, a role that Coleman can fill? Because, like you say, it's very obvious to watch Shane Duffy. The head goes down almost, you can see, as he's tracking back. And it's only like a half a yard that he's lost that's ultimately resulting in us conceding the goal. But if he had somebody like a Coleman outside him who's barking at him, who spots the danger to get back in, Would that have been a possibility?
I think it's a fair point, because I think, say we're looking towards the Slovakia game. Now, I don't know the Slovakian game, the players too much in detail. But if Stephen was looking at that game and thinking, well, Slovakian is very strong down the left-hand side, good left winger, very clever operator, makes runs in behind, and he's thinking that's a key area of the pitch. I need to nail down that area of the pitch. You know, who's my best defender? As a right-back, who's my best defender? I think there's an argument there at the moment for saying, as well as kind of Matt's playing, he's playing wonderfully well. But as an actual defender in defensive four, there's an angle of saying maybe Seamus is the better defender in terms of having that experience, in terms of decision-making, positional sense, you know, how far I get attracted up the pitch, distance between myself and me right-sided centre-half, you know, being able to give him cover, get back on the cover quickly enough, recover very quickly into that position. So I think going forward, that's probably the argument between the two players, who plays ahead of the other. From an attacking point of view, who's the most productive in the opposition half of the pitch in terms of goals and creating chances? I think you'd probably say the last year that's Matt Doherty, probably hands down. But if you examine their defensive attributes, out possession of the football, that kind of, you know, positional sense, which is always key for a fullback, defending your back post, you know, defending in 1v1 areas and just being a good decision maker, basically, in around your own penalty box. I think there's an argument for saying actually Seamus potentially at the moment is the better defender. So Stephen will have to look at that kind of going forward and maybe almost judge it game to game, lads. When that Slovakia game comes up, he might just think that type of player, slightly more defensively minded player, he can trust a little bit more in that area of the pitch, he might actually lean towards Seamus.
That's interesting. So I'm sure Stephen Kenny realises that if you're comparing them defensively, maybe Coleman gets the edge. If you're comparing them offensively, maybe Matt Doherty has the edge. Taking that to the next level then, did Ireland's fullbacks, and specifically Matt Doherty, did they do enough going forward last night, Kenny?
I don't think either of our fullbacks probably enjoyed as much possession in the opposition last tour to the pitch as they would have wanted. Probably wasn't enough kind of crosses came into the box from those areas, which I think is one of the features of both of the Enders and Matt's play. Like one great ball from Ender first half, we broke out. Jeff Hendrick played a lovely ball to him down the left-hand side. He drove and it was a lovely little cutback to Callum O'Dowd. He couldn't quite sort his feet out and the shot went wide. So that was a great bit of play. Matt probably didn't enjoy enough of those moments probably down the right-hand side either. But I wouldn't be overly concerned because we know those players have those kind of qualities. It's just getting them into those positions kind of often enough. I spoke about kind of having a plenty possession of those central midfield areas, but maybe not playing enough kind of penetrating passes or getting our wingers and our fullbacks into good areas often enough higher up the pitch. But I think it is important because I think, lads, that's still where we're strong, in wide areas of the pitch. I know when people talk about ball retention, controlling the ball, all the focus seems to come in that central area, the holding midfield player. Everything has to come through central areas. It doesn't necessarily. We can still work the ball out into those wide areas of the pitch, get the likes of Aaron Connolly, Callum O'Dowd last night in possession in wide areas, get our fullbacks involved. And Mick might have mentioned this last night. We're still at our best, I think, when we've got possession in wide areas and putting good quality balls into the box. We still get a lot of joy from those areas of the pitch, and we shouldn't forget about that. You shouldn't always be coming back on the inside and looking for those combinations and that kind of middle third area of the pitch. When we get it wide, keep it wide, work those little 1-2s, get to as close to the byline as we can and put good quality delivery into the box. Those kind of crosses are still very difficult to defend, even at international level.
Yeah, and like people will say Mick McCarthy was harping on about that a lot last night, but there was truth in what he was saying. I mean, like you look at how strong we are in wide divisions as well, or wide sections of the pitch. Like, just on that as well, Kenny, is there a case to be made here that while there's cohesion that needs to be built up in midfield and in attack, there's also a cohesion that needs to be built up between your left full-back and your left winger? So Aaron Connolly and Enda Stevens need to start striking up a bit more time together so that they know the movements of one another, and similarly on the right-hand side. And because of that, it is important that we pick our right-back now, and it's either Matt Doherty or Seamus Coleman, and they can build up that relationship with Callum O'Dowd or whoever is going to be our right-winger.
No, I think that's fair. And you're right, Omid. There's only one game left now before that Slovakia game. So even before last night, I was thinking, you put yourself into Stephen's shoes, I'm thinking, I really want to get me as close to me starting 11 on the pitch as often as possible in these next two games, really, for the reasons that you were saying. And you're right, on those areas, fullback and winger are key. I mean, I quite liked the last night, Aaron on the left and even Callum on the right. Callum's a naturally left-footed player. But that, for me, kind of can work very well in terms of wingers drifting in onto their stronger side. That kind of opens space up for the fullbacks if you happen to get into advanced areas on the outside, which our two lads can do. But it's all about kind of timing and these type of things, a little bit of eye contact, just getting to know each other a little bit. So that kind of relationship has to kind of grow. And you're absolutely right, that's only going to grow and get better the more time that you spend with each other on the pitch, just like those midfield areas, those little combinations in midfield as well. The centre half is a classic one, but it's an obvious one. But you're right, from an attacking point of view, especially in the modern game, on the kind of full relationship between fullback and wide players is absolutely key. You know, the timing of the runs and wingers come off the line, that's the trigger for the fullback to go. So I think you're right. If Stephen has a picture in his head in terms of the starting 11, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he probably has maybe even 8 or 9 players in his mind for that Slovakia game. Even the game Sunday, I know a lot of people are saying, well, get everybody else who hasn't had a game into the team. Not necessarily for me. I think if Stephen has and the staff have clear pictures who they want to play in certain areas of the pitch, for me, get them on the pitch again for 45 minutes for an hour. And to get that kind of relationship that you were talking about, on all over the pitch, you're comfortable with the person around you, you can read his game a little bit better, you understand his game, what his strengths are, the type of balls that he likes to play, and you can kind of work off that a little bit, you can link in with that. But that takes a little bit of time, like you're saying.
So just to be clear, Kenny, do you think that Seamus Coleman should start on Sunday?
No, I don't think necessarily. If Stephen was thinking Matt Doherty is going to play, he was not going to say that, of course. Mm. But in his mind, if he's thinking, I've penciled in Matt Doherty for the Slovakia game, he plays, he's my man for the foreseeable. I'm going to make a commitment to Matt now going forward for the next kind of year, whatever it is. He's fit, he plays, he's got the attributes that I want in the team, etc., etc. Then for me, I would start him again against him, right? Physically. Okay, don't get me wrong, that's an issue with all the players, physical conditioning, this stage of the season, you've got to be careful with them, don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, yes, I would start, I wouldn't be saying let's just give Seamus the game for the sake of it. I'd be saying, no, if Matt was going to play him again and potentially play that player in front of him again, if you have a clear picture who's going to play ahead of him, whether it's Callum O'Dowd or maybe Aaron Connolly's going to flip over the other side, maybe like Robinson's going to play, whoever it is, get him on the pitch again and get him some more game time as well to develop that kind of understanding that we're talking about. Because Slovakia is the standout game, lads. A lot of people talk about the number of games, a huge amount of games, but really for me, that Slovakia game is absolutely key. That's the kind of game changer for us. If we can go and win that and get to a playoff final and potentially win that, that's absolutely massive in terms of, you know, confidence around the team, real momentum, kind of go, finishing the year off and going into the World Cup qualifiers next year, and obviously with the Euro Championships next summer. So, yeah, for me, everything, the whole focus, I know you play game to game, you want to win every game, but at the moment for me, everything is like tunnel vision towards that game in Slovakia, and everything, that's got to be the priority in terms of everything that you do almost over the next kind of couple of games.
Kenny, would you just try and make room for both Coleman and Doherty?
Not in a 4-3-3, no, I wouldn't. The only way you can accommodate him really is in a 3-5-2 or 3-4-3 with Matt as an orthodox wing-back as he's played for Wolves. And actually, Seamus playing right of a 3, which I don't think we've actually seen. I actually quite like the idea of Seamus in a back 3. I like the idea of actually 2 full-backs playing in the back 3, either side of a kind of an orthodox centre-half, particularly at international level. You know, there's not too much of a physical element to the game there. It's more of a case of, you know, having a good positional sense, being a good reader of the game and being comfortable in possession. Can you get forward and be productive even from that area? And an orthodox fullback in that area can very much do that. I don't think that's going to happen, lads, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be 4-3-3. So in this system, no, I don't see Matt or Seamus playing in a higher position up on the right-hand side. It's a totally different position. You've got to play in the half-turn with your back to goal and slightly more congested area. He's not coming onto the ball. It's a totally different position. We saw in Gibraltar last year, lads, when Matt played in a slightly higher position than he would Seamus there. It didn't quite work. I don't think it's very fair to either player to ask him to play in that kind of an unorthodox position higher up the pitch. So, no, I think it'd be a straight choice between either Matt right back, and then you'll take your pick of the more attacking player in a kind of wider position.
Just one last question on the defence, Kenny. We're going to be passing the ball a lot more than we ever were. We're probably going to have double the amount of passes in most games than we were used to in the last Nations League campaign, at least. Do you feel any sense of trepidation when Shane Duffy or Darren Randolph are on the ball? Do you think that we're all good enough in that back 5 on the ball to be able to be passing, whatever, 500, 600 times a game?
Depends on the type of passing that you mean. Very easy to get on the ball and keep passing the ball 15, 20 yards. I was the master of it, like across the pitch, like taking no chances whatsoever with your passing. I think the key is, like, a lot of talk about, you know, having to get James McCarthy on the ball, get him torn and get us passing up the pitch. But, of course, any opposition team realises that holding midfield player is key. They're not going to make it easy for him to get on the ball. They're going to put pressure and maybe nullify him. So, invariably, you're going to find there's one of your centre-halves are going to be spared. We saw it last night, Bulgaria played with a lone striker. So, basically, they're saying to you, we'll give you one of your centre-halves free. We'll give you possession of the ball. What are you going to do with it? And that's when you really need one of your two centre-halves to be able to drive with the ball, actually carry the ball into a central midfield area and actually draw one of the opposition players to him and free up the space for a pass into that spare man. That's an easy thing to say, but not such an easy thing to do. That's not an easy thing for a centre-half to step forward 10, 15 yards in advance of your centre-half and head towards a congested area of the pitch, you know, and have the nerve, back yourself, have the nerve to keep your head off the technique to actually play a pass and kind of break the lines with your pass. And, you know, some centre-halves, top-class centre-halves, can do it. So I think that's what the lads need to do, potentially, if we're going to be a team that plays from the back. Then teams aren't going to make it easy and just let James McCarthy have possession of the ball, get torn, and get us passing up the pitch. They're basically going to say, right, one of your centre-halves can have it. Can you hold us? And we need, in this system, if Stephen wants to play this way, possession-based, play from the back, our centre-halves are going to have to be comfortable stepping forward, not just getting the ball and passing the ball to full-backs, passing the ball into midfield and getting it back. That's kind of reasonably safe. That's easy enough to do. But can you actually step forward, say to the midfielder, stay away, I'm coming into midfield. I'm going to make that extra man now in midfield, and I'm going to ask the opposition's midfielders a question. Are you going to come towards me? Well, if you are, I'm going to actually going to pass you around you into the space, into the feet of Conor Hourihan and Jeff Hendrick, who now can get, who've been freed up to receive the ball, get turned, and get us playing forward. So that's the big one for me. Not can they play, but they can play. Of course you can play. You can get in the ball and pass sides and pass to the fullback and back, but that's easy. That's not really hurting the opposition. What will hurt the opposition's ability to step forward into central midfield areas, commit players and actually be productive in there. And that's not an easy thing to do. So that's the big ask for Shane and John Egan and maybe other players. Darryl Shea's a player, lads, who's actually a very good pass of the ball as well, like a long pass or a switch of play. So even the likes of these players may actually come into the reckoning going forward in Stephen's eyes. Centre-halves who can step forward and, like, very efficient in terms of distribution of the football, like positive with their pass and breaking the lines, 10, 15-yard passes, punching passes beyond the opposition midfield, and also the ability to hit those big switches, 40-yard big switches over to the wingers over the other side of the pitch. So we may see over time other centre-halves maybe come into the equation, maybe even Darryl Shea for that reason, because of that passing range which they have.
Yeah, absolutely. It is 8:28 on this Friday morning. You're listening to Kenny Cunningham break down last night's 1-1 draw in Sofia. OTB AM is live in association with Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead. You mentioned the midfield there, Kenny. You mentioned James McCarthy, and we wanted to play you a bit of last night's show because John Giles was talking about McCarthy in the aftermath of the game.
It's the first game, we won't read too much into it, but we've been talking a lot about James McCarthy and his role, if Stephen Kenny is going to go with this system, the importance of that player in the middle of midfield. And again, like, is he demanding the ball? Is he always there where you want it? Or at times it feels like he's taking the easy option.
Well, no, I don't think he's consciously taking the easy option. But when you watch him now, and watch him in the first half, and he's done it before, every time somebody on his ball, he's pointing to see where it should go. I don't like to see that.
Why?
You should be doing something about getting the blooming ball yourself. Never mind pointing to where somebody should be putting it. You should be looking for it and getting it, to turning on it, dictating it. That's how you dictate the game. You're never dictating. I've never seen a player dictate the game from midfield, pointing at other people to where to put the ball. Never. Never seen it. Get on the ball yourself. Don't be pointed. There's good positions. He was in some very, very good positions there to receive it, because he's the man that's going to connect the back to front. But you don't connect back to front by pointing to where people should be playing the ball. You should be getting it and turning on it and then doing whatever ball you want to hit yourself. So if you look out for him in the second half, he's done it a lot in the first half. I don't want to be too hard on him. I know he's coming back from injury, but you can't do that. You're going to play in the middle of the field. You don't dictate the game by pointing to other players where to put it, unless you want them to put it in your position. But that hasn't been the case so far.
James McCarthy not imposing himself in the game enough last night, Kenny, according to John Giles there. Would you go along with that?
Well, John knows the position better than most. I understand what he's saying. There's responsibility on James to get on the ball predominantly and get us up the pitch. Absolutely, playing the holding midfield position. Not as easy, like I'm saying. I mean, what will happen is opposition teams, that kind of one of their central strikers will drop off and get around James's feet and basically say, I'm going to stop you getting the ball. So what does James do then? Like, you know what I mean? So what you'll see, I think what happens with James is he'll try and get out of that area of the pitch. You'll see that bit of rotation midfield. He'll kind of run away from the ball and try and take that player away. And that'll be the trigger maybe for Jeff Hendrick or Conor Hourihan to drop in there and get the ball in a little bit of space. So I can understand that if he's kind of run away and point at other players. Shouldn't really have to point. I agree with John there. When he kind of runs away, this is what we're talking about, Stephen, working with the players' patterns of play. You know, if he can't get on the ball, rather than just stand there with his hands in the air and say, oh, I can't get on the ball, best for him to actually run away, run 10, 15 yards away, maybe up the pitch. And that's the trigger maybe for Jeff Hendrick to drop in and get the ball in a little bit of space. And he can get turned and actually get us up the pitch. So I can understand both a little. I understand John's point, but I can understand as well it's not as easy as that. Yes, you want to get on the ball, but opposition teams are going to prevent you from doing it. And sometimes you've got to be clever. You've got to have a little bit of rotation in midfield and try and work the opposition so you can get somebody on the ball, whoever it is, in space to get you up the pitch. So I just be a little bit careful with James. I'm a big fan of James. I think that's his best position. I'd love to see him in that position. But we shouldn't get too carried away that we've got a real kind of quarterback in that area of the pitch in terms of passing range. Kind of James is a very kind of efficient passer in a football. He can get on the ball. He can play punchy little balls around the pitch. But he's not the type to get on the ball, lads, and hit a 40-yard pass, you know what I mean, Ivan Needle stuff. You know, these big massive switches of play are kind of Kevin De Bruyne, a range of pass, and he's not on that level, lads. I'm a big fan of him, so I think we just have to be careful not to be expecting him to get on the ball there and absolutely be bossing games from that area of the pitch in terms of his kind of range of pass. And in fact, I think when you saw Conor come back there later in the game, you could probably argue Conor's range of passing is a little bit better. In fact, he played one great pass kind of late on. And it's one thing with the centre midfielders, which I'd like to see a bit more of, our advanced midfielders, Jeff and Conor, last night. You notice with the two lads, they're always, their first maybe instinct is come towards the ball to receive the ball. They're very good footballers and they like to receive the ball in a slightly deeper area. When you play with two number eights, kind of those advanced midfielders, for me, I love to see them heading in the opposite direction at times. Not even in possession, out of possession, just sprinting in behind the opposition back four, attacking those spaces between opposition fullback and centre half. And Robbie Brady done it once great when he came on, lads. He came on centrally. Conor Hourihan went to that deep midfield position. Conor got the ball in the central area, maybe about 10 yards inside Bulgaria's half. And rather than Robbie coming towards the ball, which is what we're doing a lot of in the first half, Robbie just sprinted. He just actually planted his foot and he sprinted into the central area in behind the two opposition centre halves. Conor played a lovely floated ball in behind it. He almost got in. The keeper came out, if you remember, and they kind of collided. But it was a great run from Robbie. And that's the type of run which I like to see more from advanced midfield. Not always maybe towards the ball, to receive the ball, which is all well and good, but just to actually sprint beyond their central striker into the space behind the opposition defenders, that really kind of gets opposition defenders on their toes. And it's a great run. It's a great ball if you can find them, because they're actually in behind the opposition defenders. So only a small thing again, but it's just practice, lads, patterns, and just a little bit of time on the training pitch in the video analysis room, which I'm sure that time will be put in with the players. And over a period of time, hopefully we'll see those things being fine-tuned and things slightly improving from an attacking point of view and a defensive point of view. So wouldn't be overly harsh on the performance last night. I thought we deserved the draw, but I didn't think we'd done enough to win the game.
Kenny, if you talk about the quarterback there, and if we look at the midfield generally and look like beyond McCarthy, we look at a player like Conor Hourihan, and you've mentioned him there. Your analysis of the goal earlier on was the first time I'd heard it mentioned. It was certainly something I was looking at last night, where the goal actually was initiated, which was that Hourihan picking up the ball just inside the Bulgaria half, a very straightforward pass out to Hendrick on the right wing. And it comes up short to a player that's like blatantly in his eye line. Like, it wasn't like some sort of a sneaky run that was this amazing intercept. One thought that struck me was if the assistant manager in the previous regime was still in situ, he was going to get torn a new one afterwards. It was a very basic pass that went wrong that led to a goal. And like, I know there are obviously some positive attributes to how he performed last night, but like that's hugely concerning from an Irish midfield point of view, the capacity to play such a simple pass like that eventually unravels the entire night for us last night.
Yeah, but what it's saying, defensive corner there, what it's saying, I think one of his major assets is his pass, and his pass range is actually very good. That was kind of our character a little bit. The pass wasn't on, you're absolutely right. It was a kind of a high-risk pass across the pitch with potentially to be intercepted. But generally speaking, I think one of Connor's attributes is actually his passing range. He put actually a great cross in the first half, you remember. He drifted into almost a left-back position and kind of put a great in-swinging ball in from 35 yards. McDockett, I think, almost got on the end of it. So that's his strength, actually, in possession. He's not one for... I wouldn't say he's the greatest athlete, Connor. I'm talking about those runs, those dynamic 20, 30-yard runs into the box. He's not that type of player. He wants to drop off a little bit deep, even into kind of full-back areas at times. And then he gets himself on the overlap and high up the pitch. He kind of drops into an orthodox left-back position at times to receive the ball. He likes to face the play and he backs himself in terms of the quality of his pass. And I think that was just an exception last night, to be honest with you, Adrian, in terms of that ball that he gave away, because his ball retention is usually very good. But I just think...
Kenny, just like on that point, if I am Stephen Kenny looking at that back this morning, like, football at that level is so unforgiving. Should we not be more critical of a player at that level giving away that basic of a pass that leads to a goal that has a severely compromised? Like, it wasn't... He also knew giving the ball away in that position was going to compromise us.
Yeah, but a lot happened after that as well. I spoke about the reaction after in terms of got ourselves a little bit kind of lopsided. The two centre-halves could have rectified, Shane could have rectified the situation, all those type of things. We're agreeing, obviously, I don't think it was a poorly executed pass. It was a wrong decision to actually play the pass. I didn't think the pass was on. So it was just kind of his decision-making at that moment in time. But again, I wouldn't think about it too much, because like I said, I think his ball retention is actually very good. It just depends what type of player, that midfield three, how you see it, what type of player you want in there. So you got Robbie Brady who comes on and plays the same position as Conor Hourihan. You've got a player really whose first thing is really look forward and get forward. He's got the legs to get himself a little bit higher up the pitch. Conor Hourihan's first instinct really is to drop towards the ball, receive the ball in a slightly deeper position, lads, isn't it? And look to make the pass himself. So it all depends how you see the makeup of that midfield three. Jeff's a little bit the same, Jeff Hendry. Technically very good. Always dropping a little bit deeper towards the ball. And I always feel as if your two number eights are taking a step towards the ball, that's leaving your central striker a little bit isolated. And it's making things a lot easier for the opposition back four. All they have to worry about then is that lone central striker and maybe a little diagonal runs from the two opposition wingers from the outside to the in. And generally, you should be able to cope with that if you have a spare centre-half as an opposition player. When you have to worry about opposition attacking midfielders, actually making runs from midfield off your shoulder as well, well, that makes you start getting a little bit dizzy then. You're worried about the lone striker, the wingers coming on. Now you have a number eight, like the likes of Robbie Brady making those surging runs. Maybe a Jason Malumbi, more of a high-energy player, just putting his head down and sprinting in behind you. So that makes things a little bit more difficult, more complicated for opposition defenders. So that's the makeup of the midfield three, how you see it. Every player has their own different attributes. And I don't think that's set in stone either, that midfield three for that Slovakia game. I think there's still maybe a place or two up for grabs in that midfield three. Alan Brown, another great athlete, can get box to box. Doesn't have to be on the ball all the time. Is happy to run off the ball in behind. So it just depends, that kind of combination, as that balance, what you're looking for in that central area of the pitch. You know, technical ability, yes. Ability to keep the ball in tight areas under pressure, yeah. But also good energy levels, pace. Pace all over the pitch, lads, is key. It really is. That's what kind of terrifies opposition teams. Pace in full-back areas, pace in wide areas, pace from that lone central striker who can run in behind, who can have a charge, and pace from your two number eights, if we're going to play this system, who can actually got the energy levels kind of to drive, keep making those 20, 25-yard runs into advanced areas of the pitch. So that's... And I think we have those players. We have those players with those different types of attributes. It's just, you know, the key for Stephen and the staff is just to find that happy balance, that happy medium, that kind of all those players who complement each other and who can give us that attacking threat, but also that defensive solidity as well, lads, in terms of when we lose possession, those quick transitions, turnovers. We can't be as open as we were last night.
Just one last one then, Kenny. And you mentioned the pace there. Did we make the best use of a rapid, quick front three last night?
Well, they did. It's very hard to make use of that. They kept a reasonably low block on. Mm. So I look at Callum McDowell, I think, absolutely frightening pace. But it's very difficult to utilise that when the opposition team drops off very quickly towards the edge of their penalty box. How can you use that pace? Very difficult to use it in behind. There isn't the space in behind. And when you try and use it on the inside, which he did, drop on his inside and drive inside on his left-hand side, eventually you're very quickly are coming into traffic, into opposition midfield players. The best place to actually use it, actually, when you think about it, is really on the counter-attack. That's where you really get the advantage of that type of pace, when you actually get pushed back, or actually when you drop back yourself, if you're being really clever. If you have those pace in wide areas, Aaron Connolly and Callum O'Dowda, there's almost an argument at times for saying, you know what, rather than going pressing high up the pitch all the time, getting your centre-halves high up the pitch, and if there is a small question mark about maybe the speed of your centre-halves on the turn and balls over the top, maybe this time there's an argument for it, actually, a bit like Bulgaria did, actually dropping up into a deeper defensive position. I'm sure if you ask Shane Duffy and John Egan, where do you want to defend 5 yards outside your penalty box or 5 yards from the halfway line, you know what the answer is going to be. But sometimes that can suit you if you have that pace and wide areas like we did last night to defend deep. And now if you're asking me, where's the space on the counter-attack, there's absolutely acres of it. Because you've encouraged, like you've almost enticed the opposition team into your half of the pitch. And Callum O'Dowd and Aaron Connolly's waiting now. They're waiting for that quick turnover. And then they're off. They're sprinting into that space, whether they have the ball or not. So that's how you utilise the space. Actually, more so on the counter-attack when you don't have the ball on, rather than when you're in good possession and teams drop off and deny you that space in behind to kind of use that natural speed, which you have, if you understand.
Yeah.
So it's an one, like, you know, yes, we had that speed last night. We saw it last night, Aaron Connolly, last in the second half. He got himself in space to the left-hand side, drove into the box to the end line. Brilliant, that kind of dynamic turn of speed. Great ball across the six-yard box. Unfortunately, there was nobody at the end of it. But that's where that kind of speed, players with that kind of level of speed, that quick turn of pace can be a big asset here. But funny enough, you see it more on kind of counter-attack at this level sometimes than when you have actually good possession of the football.
So you're saying it's an absolute disaster that we dominated the ball last night. We need to give the ball away more often. Start hoofing the ball again, basically, is what you're saying, Kenny.
Well, it's funny enough, but this one I'm saying, this is why it is very interesting, like, you know what I mean? Football's always interesting to talk about, yeah. Because I think there is, now you're kind of laughing it off a little bit. We're laughing about it, but for me, there's actually a genuine point there. You look at the attributes of players that you have. How are we going to get the best out of Callum O'Dowda's pace? How can we get him like running into space at people in 1v1 situations, isolating people with grass in behind? Well, you're going to do it by actually inviting teams onto you, inviting Bulgaria or other teams. You know, you'll get pushed back. One obviously case of dropping out. You'll get passed by good teams, good quality teams. They'll push you back there anyway. But that's where the space opens up. And that's where we've always been. For me, like, if you just say to me the last maybe 10 years, lads, from an attacking point of view, where's their strengths? So I say, get the ball into wide areas. Combinations, fullback winger crosses into the box, biggest strength. But second to that, I'd say counter-attack. I remember the last qualifying campaign, goals we scored. Remember the James McLean goal, lads? Was it over in there? Was it Austria, was it?
Yeah, remember we won on the break.
David Moyler went into Wes Houlihan, whooshed James straight away, just head down, 40 yards, full pelt, counter-attack, speed. That type, I think that's where we're dangerous as well. That's where we have been traditionally dangerous over the last 10 years, both of those facets of the game. So I love to see that kind of pace all across the front line for those reasons. Even your lone central striker, don't get me wrong, it's an added plus as well. But those wide areas where lads have to drop in and do a defensive job, but they're always switched on to the fact they're just kind of waiting for that one misplaced pass, maybe for the likes of James McCarthy, the centre-half, to win a tackle, make an interception, and all of a sudden, whoosh, they're gone on the counter-attack. So, yeah, it's an interesting point of view. You know, almost being a tactical decision to actually drop off and entice teams onto you. That's what Bulgaria did to us last night, lads. That's their biggest strength was last night, counter-attack, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, they got themselves the goal. They almost got themselves another, maybe possibly even a second or a third goal by that, not by dominating possession and opening us up with some clever combination play, but just by saying, dropping off, so come on, come into our half the pitch, and we'll back ourselves to break out from this defensive shape and hurt you on the counter-attack. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, well, I guess on Sunday it's going to be a fairly similar situation. You'd expect, anyway, for us to dominate proceedings at the Aviva possession-wise again. Listen, Kenny Cunningham, great chatting to you as always. Thanks a million for being so generous with your time.
Thanks,
Kenny. Sorry about the top. So just literally, this is just a sleeping top. I forgot about the fact I should have really had a Dickie Bowen toy on. So, Polly, you can't take that rip. Can't see that rip at the top, can you? You're not.
I just want to say it's
your PJs, Kenny, is it?
Pretty much, Adrian.
It's a good quality sleeping top, I must say, Kenny. Thanks a million.
Pretty sloppy. No problem, lads. Anytime. Take care.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.